There we go. I have trust issues still. Mike Drexler is awesome. He's our sound guy. Give Mike a hand. I say I have trust issues because he says, don't worry, just unmute yourself there and worship and sing, and I'll have you muted in the back. And there's some things that you can risk, and there's other things I cannot risk, that my mic might be unmuted when I'm making what the Bible calls a joyful noise. My wife would say you're not allowed to sing that loud in public because she has to hear me sing. And so there we go. We're all on now. It's so good to see everyone this morning. I hope you had a great week. I hope that you're experiencing God's goodness because that's who He is. Amen? Yeah. So we're so excited to gather together. Man, it was fun to corporately worship together today. So thank you for being a part of what God wants to do. If you get those clipboards that are being passed around, just, you know, don't let it end on you. Put your name down. Ask your neighbor how to spell their name. Put their name down and tell them you're going to serve with me, and then pass it along. But we're so excited for what God's doing and for our Easter egg hunt. It is so good to see you. I do want to, I know it's Mira's birthday, but I got a text this morning that it's Lynette Kraft's birthday too. So she's like 28 and a half today. Right? She's so good that she celebrated the half birthday thing. So she's not 29, she's 28 and a half. So happy birthday, Lynette. And gotta love celebrating birthdays. So, well, it is so good to be together. It's been a little while. I kind of was getting sick of my own voice in December and January. His Pastor Ryan, you know, had the baby. He was there for support. And I've had a couple weeks off, so it kind of feels weird to be back. But man, we've been blessed by what God said through Sunday mornings, through Pastor Marcy last week. If you weren't here, just jump online, not like now, but when you get home, and listen to what she had to say. But man, it was right on. And she talked about surrender. The week before, we had Roy Brewer and just talked about the importance of connecting intimately with the Word of God. And it was just a powerful word for us. So make sure you're being a part of what God wants to do. Well, we are, and if I hope I'm not, you know, Pastor Ryan doesn't drink coffee. Pastor Justin drinks too much coffee. It's my fuel that keeps me going. And we had a late night last night, but we are here today. I am not a car guy. There are certain things in my family line that just skipped. My dad and my brother are like mechanics, and I am like a knucklehead mechanic is what I am. I'm good at breaking bolts in half. I'm good at breaking hoses. I'm great at doing all those things. So any time that something's wrong with one of our cars, I kind of just say, you know, I'm just gonna pray really hard that God's gonna fix it because I don't know what to do, and it overwhelms me, and so I just kind of, with all those little lights on your dashboard, that's just decoration in my book sometimes. It's just like, hey, you know, we have lights on our porch, we can have lights on the dash of our car. And I had this gentleman, Chris Hodges, I had an issue with my wife's car, and he was like, bring it over. And I'm like, yeah, thanks for that, you know, because people mean well. Well, 9 months later, he's still going, bring it over. So we brought it over last night, and it's amazing when someone can actually, like, work on a car. Like, it's pretty cool. And it was kind of fun. We didn't break any bolts. He didn't let me turn any of the wrenches, but I was a good flashlight holder. But so we got our car fixed, and that was pretty fun. So we had a little radiator issue, but it's no longer an issue, so that's good. But I'm so excited for what God's doing, and even our time of worship. If you don't know, we've been in the middle of a series that our church has done called The Life of Worship, and we're talking about what it means to be worshipers, because that's part of our call, amen? It's part of the way that we were created, that we were created to worship the Creator, okay? We were created to give God honor and praise. And so if that's part of how we were created, I think we need to really study and really put our hands to what does it mean to be a worshiper, amen? And so I've so enjoyed our series. We've been doing small groups. We have ours today, tonight. But just to see the personal growth in different ones and hearing the stories and the testimonies of the different aspects of what God has spoke as we've stepped out in worship. And so today I get to talk about a life of worship, and the title of my message is The River of God. And so this week our focus is all around the River of God, and the subtitle is Worship is Bigger Than Yourself. Yeah. And I just want to confess something. If you've got two titles, The River of God and Worship is Bigger Than Yourself, 9.5 times out of 10, Pastor Justin is going to choose to talk on worship is bigger than us. Okay, Pastor Justin probably isn't going to talk about the river of God. You know why? Because I can't control the river of God. You know what I'm saying? Just as I can't control a natural river, I'm going to, you know, it's going to take a lot of work. When we talk about the river of God, that there's some turns when you have a river. There's some bumps and rocks, and there's some waterfalls in rivers that I don't want to go over because, right? I mean, I've done that once before, and it was fun, but I don't know if I'll do it again. But we're going to talk today about the river of God. And I'm going to explain some things, and this week I'm going to trust that you're going to go to your home group. But really the focus today is when we gather together corporately, we have an opportunity to be a part of what the Spirit of the living God is doing. Okay, the Bible talks a lot about rivers, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But when we gather, we have an opportunity to come together and see God do some great things. So, a few years ago, my wife, she's awesome, by the way. If you don't know her, she's like fantastic. She got me a new shirt in the mail, so I'm feeling pretty good. I ironed it this morning in my office, which is another win for me, because I iron now. But a few years ago, my wife surprised me on my birthday, and I don't know, it might have been my 30th, but we went down to Oregon with my in-laws, and we rafted, like whitewater rafted, the Salmon River down in Oregon. Hood River, I think it was called the Salmon or the White Salmon or the Red Salmon, one of the salmon rivers. And it was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life today. Number one, because I'm here today telling you the story, so it was a good trip. It was so much fun, but it was amazing to go down the Salmon River. The only bummer about the Salmon River is that this 6-foot waterfall was closed. I know. And I would never want to, like, I'm going to go on down the 6-foot waterfall. But when you're out there, you're like, I'm never going to do this again. I'm going to go over the 6-foot waterfall. And you pump yourself up and you just do everything you can to, okay, I'm just going to close my eyes and act tough. And then it's closed. So that was kind of a disappointment. But it was amazing to be in this river, and you literally are at the mercies, first of all, of the people in the boat with you. Because if they don't paddle, or if they paddle too fast, right, you're going to end up not where you want to be on the river, and you got this guy yelling at you, paddle right, and some people are more natural paddlers than others, and I think I started in the front, but then I maybe moved to the back, and I think my wife went to the front where she was a better paddler. I couldn't keep rhythm. I was like, you know, doing my thing. But it was interesting being in this river and being at the mercies of something that was more powerful than I was and something that I couldn't control. Yeah. We're there, and there's a big rock, and he says, paddle hard right, and we won't run into the rock. And all I can think of is, we're going to run into the rock. Oh, man, what am I going to do? And I'm strategizing my exit plan, what shore I'm going to swim to, and I'm not paddling, right? Because I'm just thinking about the rock or this or that, or we're going to go down sideways, and I can't see. But it was so neat to be in the middle of a river and to recognize the power and the beauty of our Creator. And it made me realize very quickly how small I really was and how weak I really was. You know, I think as fun as a river can be in the natural, I think rivers have a lot of mystery to people. You talk about, hey, let's take our kids swimming. Well, let's go swimming on a lake, but let's not swim in a river because rivers are what? Are dangerous. Rivers are powerful. Rivers have current and rocks. There's some unknowns and some unpredictabilities when it comes to a river. Anyone else, right, in the same boat as me where you're like, I don't want to swim in a river? Number one, they're too cold. Okay, number two, it's just too unpredictable. It's power, it's unknown, the dangers, right? There can easily be hazards that come when it comes to rivers. And so this morning, I want to talk about the river of God. Because if you look throughout the Bible, there's really a number of themes, but number one theme in the Bible is Jesus. Okay, if you look at the whole Bible is themed around Jesus. Okay, the Old Testament, before Jesus was walking this earth, it was talking about Jesus. It was prophesying this king to come, who is Jesus. When you read, open up your Bible and read the New Testament, we can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that is Jesus' life, his ministry, what he did, why he was on this earth for 33-something years. And then after he was gone and went to the Father, we see how the New Testament church was affected by Jesus. Okay, so the whole book is about this man, before he was alive and after he went on to be with the Father. Okay, another theme, if you read your Bible, you see this common theme of rivers. Okay, if you open up your Bible to Genesis 2, when it's talking about the garden, right, the Garden of Eden, it says in the middle of the garden was a river. And that river provided sustenance for the garden. It's how the garden remained green. Okay, so at the beginning, we've got a river. Okay, if you look at the life of Jesus and even the ministry of the people of God, Old and New Testament, how many, you could find example after example of how miracles were used with rivers and water. Okay, think about it. In the Old Testament, Moses, he took a staff, and the instruction was, people are thirsty, smack the rock. Okay, I'm going to smack a rock, and it's going to produce water. And so he smacks the rock, and what happens? Like 2 million people, their thirst is quenched. Okay, think about some other significances of rivers. I look at how many times rivers were split and God's people entered their promised land, but they had to cross through a river. Okay, New Testament, when we talk about baptism, okay, they didn't have fancy hot tubs and tanks back in the day, but in the river, they were baptized. And we know baptism is a, and maybe you don't know, but baptism is a sign of old things dying and new things being raised. Okay, so rivers are a symbol not just of power, but they're a symbol of cleansing. They're a symbol of shaping. Okay, when you look at some of these canyons in Arizona and different places, this river has literally shaped its path through the canyon. And over time, right, it's gotten wider or sometimes narrower or it's more to the left than it used to be. But rivers are a shaping. There's a shaping aspect to rivers, okay? So we can go all through. If you read Revelation, which is at the end of your Bible, okay, it's talking about heaven. I love to talk about heaven to my kids. My kids, they ask me questions all day long. What's heaven going to be like, Dad? Well, number one, I've never been there, so I don't fully know. But any glimpse of heaven that we can see in the Bible, okay, I love to look at what it says. And in Revelations 22, it talks about in the middle of the streets, I'm thinking in downtown heaven, it says there's a river that paves its way through the streets. Okay, so in heaven, I believe there's a river. And I believe God has a spot for me on that river to catch some big old fish. Okay, that's my interpretation, but I there's a river in heaven. Okay, so all through the Old Testament, we could see that God's presence, God's power, and God's personhood is often given an illustration of a river. Okay, so we can make the correlation between the river of God and the presence of God. We can make a correlation between God's character in a river. Okay, there's a number of different of examples that we can use that tie the two together. Okay, if we look at, if we just continue this morning, I'm gonna cruise, but if we continue this morning, we've got to understand, especially if we look at John chapter 4, that each of us were created with, I've heard it said, people call it a God-shaped hole. Has anyone ever heard of that? We've all been created with a God-shaped hole in us, and it only can be filled by God. And I believe this morning that each and every one of us were created with a thirst that only His water can quench. Okay, that we all were created, we all go through this earth, and we will be empty. We will be forever spiritually thirsty if we do not taste the water that Jesus provides. Okay, and we see this encounter in John chapter 4 where Jesus said, you know, anyone that comes to me, this is the woman at the well, they'll never thirst. So he says, would you like to drink of this water? Okay, so we see that we were created with a hole. You were created incomplete. You were created thirsty, and only the Spirit of God can quench that thirst. Okay, I don't like to see it as a hole. Like, we were just created with a hole. I had a picture this week of a, have you ever seen a dried up river? I believe that each of us were created with a riverbed, so to speak, in our hearts, where there is the rocks, there is the sand, but the only thing that's missing is the water. But we have the ability inside of us, how we were created, to house this living water. Okay, you were created with this little fake riverbed inside of you, little rocks, little waterfall, little raft so you can go, right? You had this little river that was created for God. And it was created for His water. And until you experience that, right, it's going to be dry. But you have that ability, and you were created to carry the river of God. Okay, I want to read in Ezekiel, Old Testament, Ezekiel 47, and then we'll tie it all together. Ezekiel was a prophet, okay, and this is in the times where the people of God were in captivity. Okay, so they were being held captive. Okay, and God gives a word to Ezekiel, and this is the word. And so read along with me. If you don't have your Bible, it's up there. But it says this, then he, and that's the angel of the Lord. Okay, it's an angel they're talking about. Then the angel of the Lord brought me back to the door of the temple. So he's having a vision and a dream. And behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate, and the angel led me on the outside of the outer gate that faces the east. Okay, a lot of directions. And behold, the water was trickling down on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits. So pretty much he's going around this temple. Okay, and a cubit, 1 cubit is about 1.5 feet. So 1,000 cubits would be about 5 football fields. Okay, so he's measuring how far the water's going. And the water's trickling out from all these directions. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. So the water's getting deeper. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Waists are down here. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through. For the water had risen, it was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. As I went back, I saw on the bank of the river a lot of trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and enters the sea. When the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. Verse 9, this is the key right here. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Everything will live where the river goes. Okay, this isn't just a prophecy to them back in the day. We're not like in captivity anymore. But I believe this is a picture for the New Testament church. Okay, it wasn't just for God's people back then, but there's aspects for us today. Everything will live where the river flows. Okay, if I'm going to cut to the chase this morning, and just like we're going to end right now, I'm going to say, wherever you allow God's river to flow out of your life, the byproduct will be life. Every area of your life that you allow the Spirit and the presence of God to flow through you, the result of that will be life. Okay, let's all go home now, right? No. But, and again, the flip side, where you do not allow the river of God to flow, can we make the correlation that it will be dry? That it will be the opposite of life? That it will be death? Any area that I don't allow God's river to flow will not experience that life? Yeah, I think we can make that correlation. Okay, if we read in John chapter 7, this is Jesus talking, and he says, if anyone is thirsty, okay, not just talking like, give me some Gatorade, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So here's the correlation. We will drink from the Lord and not just be satisfied, but what? Out of that will flow rivers from our life. So when we allow ourselves to be immersed in the presence of God and the river of God, we're not just going to get satisfied, but we are going to be a conduit for Him to flow through us. So it's not just, oh, I'm just filled up in God's presence. No, I'm filled up so that I can pour out in God's presence. And here's the truth this morning, is out of the source of our life, at the core of our heart, will flow something. Right? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Not out of the abundance of the mouth, the other way, I can't even do it right, but out of the abundance of what's inside will come what goes outside. You know that old saying, it says, when we're squeezed and we don't expect it, then what's really inside of us comes out, right? We've all been there before. You know, if you want to know what's inside of you, I just tell you, go home today. Get a hammer, close your eyes, smack your thumb with the hammer and see what comes out. But don't do it. Okay, please don't do it. Right? But the principle is what's truly inside of us when we're squeezed, when we're pressured, that's what's going to come out. At the core of who we are. So here's the problem. Whatever's inside of us, or here's the problem, or here's the blessing. Whatever's inside of you will come out. And again, I say that's a problem because at the core of who we are, what is inside of us? What is the source of our spring? What is the source of our river? Here's the problem. Every single one of you in this room has been hurt before in the past. Every single one of you in this room has been let down by another human being. Many of you in this room have experienced things that no human should ever have to experience. Okay, really, I'm a funny guy. We're getting real serious now. And it got really quiet in here. Right? Many of us, some of our greatest pain have come at the hands of the people that love us the most. At the core, many of us are hurt. At the core, we have a river inside of us, but that river, as the Bible says, it might be a fountain of bitterness. At the core, it might be a fountain of hurt. At the core, if we don't allow the river of God to purify us, we cannot produce pure water on our own. We cannot, again, oh yeah, drink out of my tap water. It has 1% E. coli in it. But it's got 99% good water. You'll be like, I'll take the bottled water, Pastor Justin. I don't want your tap water, right? It's only got 1% E. coli. We cannot produce something pure from a source that is tainted. You can't try hard enough until you allow the source to be pure. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be bitterness. You know, bitterness was one thing that he said, my people can't praise me because there's bitterness in their heart from things that have happened before. My people can't praise me because there's criticism in their heart. That's one of the areas God's been challenging me with. I can really point out the flaws in things. I'm really good at it, right? I can point out problems with the best of you. And I found myself being really good at pointing out problems. Oh, yeah, that could be better. That's bad. That's broken. That's a cheap gift. That's what the Lord told me. But second of all, I realized that everything, my whole relationship with God was going through this filter of criticism. And instead of praising God for the things he was doing, I was criticizing God for the things that he wasn't doing. Or the things that I thought he should do better or differently in my life or in those around me. And man, if I don't allow God to clean me from that criticism, it will cause me to be a bitter well. More of a bitter cistern, right? That just holds water, right? That gets stagnant. Okay, negativity, criticism. Okay, it is easy to be critical. I mean, don't say amen, right? But it is easy to be critical. I was thinking this week about, I think many people want to praise the Lord, but they're wounded. Okay, I think there's a difference between being wounded and sinning. Okay, being wounded talks about the things that have happened to you in your life. Okay, the things that you had no control over. But again, there's a point where our woundedness can become sin if we don't get healed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what has happened to me when I was whatever years old, that shouldn't have happened, if I do not get healing from that thing, it will become a sin in my life, and it will hinder me from experiencing everything God wants to do in my tomorrows. And I think there's a lot of people that we want to praise God, we want to jump into the river of God, but we can't because we're only focused on the woundings and what was done to us. And those woundings have been turned to sin. I didn't talk to Marcy about this today, but last week she said a ton of amazing things. But she last week, if you weren't here, I already said get the message. She said the best advice I ever got was to either are you feeling sorry for yourself or stop feeling sorry for yourself. That's some pretty bold advice. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the person that gave her that advice is still in her life today. Right? She had a choice to make that said, are you feeling sorry for yourself? Because let me tell you right now, she has, in the natural, she has every reason to feel sorry for herself. People would justify our sorrow at times. They will justify our sorrow. But she said this to me this week. She said, not only am I robbing myself, but I'm robbing what God wants to do through me. And so when we are stuck in our circumstance, and when we're stuck in our sorrow, we're not only robbing ourselves, but we're robbing what God wants to do through our lives. Okay, another thing that I felt this week as I was praying about talking about the river of God, because the Lord said there needs to be some new wells established in our life. Okay, when I say well, I'm talking like a water well. There's some spiritual wells that have gotten dirty, that have gotten clogged, right? That are no longer producing the good water that we want. Okay, another thing the Lord said, and he said self-sufficiency. Okay. What is self-sufficiency? I believe one of the things that I believe God wants to do in the American church is he wants to teach us what it means to depend on him. Because you go to church in Honduras, you go to church in Africa, and it's very easy to tell those people that they need God. Why? Because they have nothing else. But it is very difficult to get us Americans convinced that we need God. Why? Because, well, I got my job without God. Or I can do this on my own. All I got to do is put more hours in and I can pay my bills. Right? We have so many things that can make us feel like we are just self-sufficient and we don't need God. We're doing good. And here's what I want you to know today is that God has prepared a place for you to experience his abundance and his river. Okay, he wants you to experience this river of God. Okay, some of us, I think we've got to redig some wells in our life. We've got to go down and we've got to get some of the bitterness out. We've got to get some of the criticism out. We've got to get rid of some of that wounding so that we can produce something that's fresh. Okay, the story of Ezekiel, we've got to understand that the river is a definition and a picture of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. Okay, but in this scripture in Ezekiel, it talks about the temple. Okay, I want you to know today that you are the temple of the living God. Okay, the Bible, because again, we think temple, we think of, oh, it's coming down from that cool brick building. No, there's so many places in the New Testament that say that we together are the temple of God. So when we're talking about the temple from the north, from the south, from the east and the west, and it was trickling. Remember the scripture that I just read? Yeah. So from the north, the south, from Justin, from my wife, you know, the water is going to come from the outflow of your life. It's not going to come from some brick building. It's going to come from those things that God has done in you. And just like our story, it came from the south and it was a trickle. It came from the north and it was a trickle. It came from the other two directions and it was trickle. And then what happened? It was a river that was so deep that they couldn't, it was too deep for them. Right? It was to their knees and then it was to their waist. So there's power when we come and we gather corporately and we release our streams of worship. Listen, there's a scripture in Hebrews, and preachers have preached this one forever. It says, do not forsake the assembling together. Pretty much means, get your booty in church. Yeah. Okay, and preachers have made all sorts of sermons on, don't forsake the assembling. Well, guess what? Why? Because there's power when we release our praise together. Yeah. Right, we experienced it this morning, which is so cool. When I bring my stream of worship, when you bring yours, it gets bigger. It gets more powerful. When we all bring it, can you imagine? Okay, I did some interviews this last few weeks. Not in our church. But you know, worship leaders who lead people in worship, They say, I hate the first and second song. Hate it. You know why? Because they say people just aren't engaged. It wasn't this church, of course. Right? But they say it doesn't get good until the third song. And then if you're a Pentecostal church, you only sing three songs and then it's over anyways. So we get one good song of worship. Well, what is it, Steve? Did the worship team not have enough coffee in the morning? Did the sound, you know, the sound guy just needs to turn the volume up? Well, that's why. Or could it be that there's a part that we all have to play in worship, and we need to make sure that we're coming ready to bring our part? Could it be? I'm not saying it, right? You say it. It could be. But I love this picture in Ezekiel because it says on the side of the river there was trees. There was trees, not little shrubbies. There was trees planted on the side of the river. Okay, it says that's us, the righteous. That as we praise, we're going to get rooted. As we praise, as we join in what the river of God is doing in the presence of God, we're going to get strong. So you need some stability in your life. Release the stream of worship that is inside of you. And you will grow. And not only you will grow, but the person next to you will be encouraged as you worship. Okay, we don't come to church for some glorified, like, American Idol competition. Like, oh, we're gonna judge how good they did this morning. And then we're going to high-five some people and go on our merry way. No, we have an opportunity when we gather corporately to encounter the river of God. I love this. Psalms 46, verse 4. You're going to get this in your small group this week. But it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. And as you define that word river, it talks about this, and it's beautiful. It says, there is a river whose streams. The word river talks about a river that has been assembled, that has been put together by what? By streams. By you and me. And your neighbor. Okay? Our streams make the river of God. When we release our streams, we change the atmosphere. Steve, would you, in worship team, would you come up? Because we're gonna praise. We're just about there. But we need to understand that when we worship together, we all have a part to play. Oh, but Pastor Justin, I'm not very energetic as a person. Okay. Neither am I. Pastor Justin, I like to, you know, I don't know if I should raise my left or my right hand. I don't know. Raise them both. Whatever. Don't raise any, you know, I don't know. There's no right way to do it. But here's what I know, is that if we want to experience the river of God, then the streams need to come alive with praise. So when we gather together, there's got to be an expectation that says, I can't wait to see what God's going to do today, as Pastor Ryan said. Yeah. Right? But I catch myself coming in and thought, well, maybe by the end of the message, I'll feel like praising God because my circumstance is too big. Right? Or, man, I'm not quite healed yet. So when I'm healed, I'll praise God. Well, maybe your healing is going to come as you lift up a praise to God. When we worship, atmospheres change. Not just your atmospheres, but the atmospheres around you. Listen, my wife and I, we have four sons. There's some things in our kids that worry us. We were talking about it yesterday, and we said, man, if something doesn't change, we're going to be in trouble when he's a teenager. So I'm going to put my thumb down on him and, right? No, maybe. But I'm going to release praise over his life. And as I praise, as he's laying in his bed and we go in and we declare God's truth, I'm believing that that's going to change in his life, because that's what praise does. Praise sets the captives free, as we see in Acts 16. Right? Later in Acts 12, I believe it is, Peter was in prison. And what happened? The church started praying. And guess what? They released him because of prayer and worship. Okay, it's not just us coming together, doing my three songs with the next American Idol. Senior edition, right? It's not about, oh, that was good. I'll grade them a 10 today. Or, you know what? That wasn't very good, guys. Hopefully it's better next week. No, we come together because we have a part to play. And my stream of worship gets joined to yours. There's some miracles that need to happen, and our praise is going to release those. Amy talked about the walls of Jericho. Walls fell because of praise. Okay, there's a story in the Old Testament of King Jehoshaphat. And they were outnumbered, and they were going to get killed. And he literally said, "We don't know what else to do, God, but our eyes are on you." We don't know what to do. We're probably all going to die tomorrow because their armies are outnumbering us. We don't know what to do, but our praise is on you. And so what happened? They lifted up a praise. And we know, you can read this story in 2 Chronicles. We don't know what to do. Why don't you stand up with me today? But is there something in your life and you're saying, "God, I don't know what to do. I don't know, God," like my wife and I, dealing with this situation with one of our sons. We don't know what to do. But God, our eyes are on you.
Yes.
And so we're going to release our stream of worship to you. And as we release our stream and people in our lives are releasing what God's doing in them, guess what? It becomes a river. And we experience health and healing in that river. You know what I'm saying? So come on, this morning, before we close, our worship is bigger than us. And there is a new level that Pastor Ryan talked about that we didn't talk about this morning that God wants to release corporately. So we don't have to be like, "Oh, well, I guess it was the fourth song before God showed up." You know what? We come into this place and we say, "God, you're worthy of our praise." At night, right? When we first come into the doors, we don't have to warm up. So come on, here's what I want to do today. This is what I want to do. Okay, we're gonna do it this way today. We're just gonna begin to release a river, a stream inside of us. And I want you to think about the situation in your life, the circumstance. Maybe some of you are saying, "Man, my well is bitter." Well, then I want you to say, "God, would you cleanse me? Father, would you bring your fresh water?" Some of you might say, "I'm just dry. I've got this riverbed, but it doesn't have any water in it." Then we say, "Okay, God, would you fill us up?" And so the worship team's just going to sing. And I want you, we're just gonna release the river. You can sing with them, or you can do business with God on your own, however you want to do it. But Steve, would you just begin to sing? And I'm probably going to pray in a little bit. All right, come on, but let's just release our praise to God.
At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. We shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, the angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Come on, so here's what I want to do. I talked about a lot today, but this morning, if you're saying, Pastor Justin, I feel like I need to redig some wells. There's some maybe bitterness, maybe hurt, maybe woundedness. Some of you might be saying, maybe there's just dry. Maybe it's just dry, and I feel like there's not even a trickle. Come on, I don't know if that's one of us or 100 of us, but this morning I want us to release our faith alongside of you. And so I'm just going to have you, if that's you, I'm going to just, right where you're at, just raise your hand. And when you raise your hand, I'm going to ask that if there's people around you that have faith, to just release the stream inside of them and the impartation. You don't even have to tell them what's going on. You can just say, hey, God wants to do some stuff, and then we're going to believe that God's going to touch people's lives. Amen? So if that's you, just raise your hand. Right? And I see some hands. So if there's someone around you with their hand raised, would you just release your faith and pray over them? There's a bunch of hands over here. But let's release the stream inside of us to refresh, to renew. Come on. And then we're going to sing. All right, let's do it.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Your name, oh Lord.
Yes, God.
Oh, we shout your name, oh Lord.
Come on, let's pray together. Father, right now, Father, I thank you for the river. Father, I thank you for the river that is in each and every one of us. Father, that it is a river that is designed for you to fill. And Father, I pray this morning, Father, for those that are said, I feel dry. Father, I thank you for your water and your refreshing this morning. Father, for those that say, I had this happen to me or that happened to me, and or there's bitterness or there's hurt or there's woundedness. Father, this morning I thank you that your water heals. It restores. Father, and I thank you this morning that if there's people in this room that don't know you, that have never experienced the living water, Father, that this morning you want to fill us and you want to fill them with your living water. And if you've never experienced the Lord before, I just ask you to just invite him in. And we'd love to pray for you after the service. But it says that there's a living water that those who drink will never thirst again. He wants to satisfy you this morning. And so God, this morning, I even pray that there would just be a new level of our praise as we even gather corporately, as we join our streams to see the river do mighty things. Father, I ask this morning that we would just go out of here knowing that our praise is bigger than us. Father, and there's things that you're calling us to pray and praise over that are for other people's freedom. Father, we're willing to do those things today. Amen? Come on, that's good stuff.